TNT Radio wants to know what you really think, because your opinion matters. At TNTRadio.live, upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Jason Oborn and Nicola Charles now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Well, welcome back to the second hour. If I'm going to dedicate this hour to anything, it'll be Pat Benatar, because I am all fired up and I am absolutely furious that we live in this two-speed world where it's one is good for the goose and not for the gander. Got a question for you, and if you know the answer, you're welcome to ring in or put it on the chat. Who is the only unelected US president? And it's not Joe Biden, just to, in case you thought it was a trick question there. Who is it? There you go. Plant that one and give us a call if you can. 1-800-670-310. That's the number from Australia. And you've got the other numbers and I'll read them out shortly. But I'm going to introduce you to my co-pilot right now. And her name is Nicola Charles. Nicola, welcome.
Hi, Jason. How are you?
I am all fired up and I'm a little bit upset today. I'm still in shock. Look, like we were talking earlier, I'm still in shock about Shane Warne, how long that's been, and the amount of people dropping dead from heart attacks is really, really upsetting me. And I made a comment earlier on social media on one of the mainstream news pages, and I was attacked. How dare I even contemplate the idea that someone could die from a heart attack caused by the Saints at Pfizer? How dare I even suggest it? The thing is, I didn't. All I did was ask a simple question. When will you mainstream reporters actually start asking questions? That's what I wrote and was attacked for it. How about you?
Well, someone tweeted out, why is everyone being attacked for asking if Lisa Marie Presley was jabbed? You know, just a few months ago, we were required to inform an Uber driver whether we were jabbed to be able to get a ride. So as you say, we live in this sort of two-tier society. I mean, I always suspected it, but it's really been proven lately, hasn't it? Because it's one rule for us and one rule for them. We get into trouble if we put the wrong waste in the wrong waste bin, and they seem to be, shall we say, getting away with murder.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny you say that, because we actually have here in Maitland Council recycling police. There is a van that drives around that lifts up your yellow lid to see if there's the wrong rubbish in there. And if you do, you either get a fine or a notice or a warning or something from an actual marked van. You're dead right.
Yeah.
It's absolutely preposterous.
And that's interesting, isn't it? Because I remember, I think it was right at the beginning of the pandemic, the news broke that, I don't know if it was Victoria or Australia-wide, but we'd been separating out our recycling for an awfully long time. And then we discovered that actually at the other end, it was just all being thrown in together and that it wasn't being recycled. And we'd sort of gone to great lengths and we believed that we were doing the right thing. There's this theme, isn't there, Jason? We believe we're doing the right thing. We're told to do the right thing. Mm. And at the same time, all the while, those in authority are actually not doing the right thing. It's just a period in history where I'm constantly disappointed. And I think disappointment is my least favorite emotion.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I often say that when you're angry, it's the only sad emotion that provides you with energy, so use it wisely. And there are many things that may make our listeners angry today. We're learning about the Biden classified documents have now spread. There's now two locations and even a third one is being talked about. And this is very, very disturbing. And to add insult to injury, there's some breaking news out of, I picked it up off Fox, but a Democrat has suggested that the classified documents in Biden's home may have been planted. Can you believe that? Exactly. Mm. We're going to talk about more of that in the hour. But I also want to bring up a couple of other subjects for our listeners. Obviously, we want to talk about perhaps your memory of Elvis Presley in light of the fact that the movie is just out. It's won Best Actor. It's our own Australian director, Baz Luhrmann, directed this film. So Elvis is on the top of mind, even that many of us don't go to the cinema anymore. But the death of his daughter, Lisa Marie Presley, at 54 to a heart attack. Now, some people, again, are going out there and saying, well, her father died from a heart attack, and therefore, you know, it's likely that she would die from a heart attack. But hang on a second, he was morbidly obese. He was taking uppers and downers, and he used to have fried peanut butter sandwiches, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. How is it possible you can compare this? It's just insulting that people will look at anything but the reality.
Yeah. Also, the cynic in me, let's say, is just a touch suspicious that this death has occurred right at the beginning of what will be an enormous marketing push for this movie. And I know that will probably enrage a lot of people to hear me say that, but these people are ruthless. And that's my concern with the timing of this. She just appeared at the Golden Globes to support this movie. So, yeah, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up when I read that news, and may she rest in peace. It's a very young age to pass away.
Absolutely. Now, in two other stories I'm going to bring up, and then we're going to cut to the news, but CNN has said that gas stoves are linked to cognitive impairments and asthma. I call BS. And national security experts criticize the media scientists who dismissed the COVID-19 lab leak theory in an open letter. And that provides me with a little bit of confidence that the narrative has finally shifted, where a group of 43 national security experts have published an open letter this week criticizing news organizations and scientific publications that dismiss the possibility that the COVID-19 pandemic may have been the result of a lab leak. Goodness me, it's like you can drag a horse to water. Oh my God, it is absolutely painful, Nicola.
Yeah, it is painful. And, you know, it breaks my heart when I see Robert Kennedy Jr., who obviously suffers with his speech because of an illness. And he's out there doing his best work and trying to bring all this to everyone's attention. I think he does a lot of work with Children's Health Defense. You know, that they're sort of vilified, aren't they, in the media, and they're deplatformed and shut down. And they're just speaking the truth. And as I've said before, the truth is something that we need to get more acquainted with, because things are going on around us all the time that perhaps people in media are more aware of, and those who are not in the media are not so aware of it. But again, the cynic in me is also now suspicious of the timing of the release of Prince Harry's memoir, let's call it, or his tales of woe about being a member of the royal family. Oh, how hard is that? Because his book has been released at exactly the same 48-hour period, the 9th to the 13th of January, that the World Health Organization is actually having their sort of semi-secret meeting about doing this pandemic treaty amendment. And Alex Antic, the MP in Australia, has done a piece to camera today saying, you know, this is happening quietly. And if we don't stop this, we're going to lose our civil rights, our human rights, our bodily autonomy. And I can honestly say, if they come for me, if they amend this treaty and create a license to kill with a World Health Organization treaty, I will defend my life with force, because I will not allow anyone to take away my human rights.
Yep. Here's the news with Sonia. Don't go anywhere.
Calling out the big wigs.
The government works for us, not the other way around.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Now, it seems that the whole sanctioning and the process of asset confiscation is all coming up as a big, big story all at the same time. Sonia Bailey's here to tell us more. The European Union supports Estonia's push to create a legal mechanism for confiscating Russian assets. Of course they do. Tell us more, Sonia.
Jason, yeah, so as we know, over the past 12 months, with the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, the European Union has put in various sanctions at various time points, and a majority of which were aimed at affecting Russia's ability to import and export goods and their ability to actually function as a country. So, as you mentioned, the European Union is now supporting Estonia's call for there to be some sort of legal process put in place, where not only have Russian assets been confiscated under this this sanction that's been put in place, they're actually now calling for it to be a criminalized act whereby Estonia can then actually take possession of these assets. So the European Commission spokesman Christian Wiegand says Estonia should be criminalizing violations of the sanctions imposed on Russia, adding that this would speed up the process of seizing frozen Russian assets. Now, what I did find very interesting about this report that had come out today is it seems that they are viewing Russia's behavior of functioning as a nation and continuing to grow their business and continuing to hold off inflation and continuing to allow their economy to grow, they're seeing this as some sort of criminal act.
Right.
It's infuriating, isn't it? It's absolutely infuriating, Nicola.
All the while they call this democracy. That's why they're saying they want to send more weapons to the to Ukraine. It's all about democracy. My heart broke when I heard that Poland, of all places, was sending tanks to Ukraine that could possibly fall into the hands of the Azov battalions. It's they are definitely virtue signaling in one direction while doing the exact opposite.
Yeah, most definitely. And the European Commission spokesman, Wiegand, he says this is part of our efforts to direct such funds, being those possessed from Russian assets, for the reconstruction of Ukraine. Of course, it will be good if the EU member states take steps in this direction. So not only have they frozen the Russian assets, they now actually want to seize them and use what is in the vicinity of about 3 billion euro or $311 billion in Russian central bank reserves to rebuild Ukraine.
So when does that cross over into being a war crime? Because that sounds like a war crime to me.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's one thing for the European Union to put sanctions in place that they feel is going to benefit their sister nations. It's an entirely different thing to then come out and say, well, Russia circumvented these sanctions. Well, no, if you were playing a game of chess and all you've done is move around pawns and you've been outsmarted by your opponent, you don't then just throw the board on the floor and go, well, you're cheating now. Russia hasn't cheated. They have just found a way to continue succeeding and continue prospering despite the sanctions that have been put in place.
Oh, this has been a very long and clever plan, isn't it? You've got pandemic treaties that basically become licenses to kill and removals of human rights. And now you've got this kind of action that leads to potentially war crimes. I mean, it's one thing to seize and hold assets. It's another to use it as a lottery win and build another nation. I really can't quite believe that people are accepting this on the global scale. If this is their one world government, quite frankly, they can shove it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And I think the most telling part of this entire encounter is that the Estonian Prime Minister says that European Union member states need to take work forward on securing accountability for the crime of aggression and to use Russia's frozen assets. So now being aggressive is a crime?
Unbelievable. And this is the world that we're living in at the moment. If that hasn't fired you up, I don't know what will, but there are many, many topics that we're going to talk about today. We are going to talk about the Biden classified documents, the revelations that Hank Johnson, Democrat from Georgia, is suggesting that they've been planted. Of course they have. If you're one that doesn't want to give up your gas stove and you want to be heard, then this is the place to say it. And of course, if you can finally believe that there are people saying that the lab leak was real, we want to hear from you as well. Sonia, terrific story. It's going to blow up even more. Have a great weekend. We're going to take a break and we've got callers lining up already. Can't wait to get on the phones. Don't go anywhere. This is TNT Radio.
Jesse Zurawell on TNT Radio.
Supporters of former Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro, who refused to accept his election defeat, stormed Congress, the Supreme Court, and Presidential Palace Sunday, a week after the inauguration of his leftist rival, President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. The AP report then goes on to make a number of comparisons with quotes from Western politicians of what's happening now in Brazil to what happened on January 6th, 2021. In Washington, D.C.
Well, yeah, certainly on the surface, it's ludicrous. Bolsonaro's partisans, one has to also recall, especially in the context of Latin America, is a broad coalition these days of some of the more insidious types who were beneficiaries of the military dictatorships that lasted up until the 1980s. That being said, Lula is himself a very dubious character who undermines the true, let's say, leftist progressive elements in Brazilian politics.
Jesse Zerowell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds, and they do it by the types of posts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis, by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
And now a news update. The president's doctor has confirmed that the president is suffering from gastric distress. Apparently, he can't stop Putin.
You're stupid.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
See, that promo is proof that you don't have to be 100% serious on a news channel, but you can certainly make light and fun of ridiculous things that are going on. We're going to open the lines up right now, Nicola, and we've got Danny from Brisbane on the phone. Welcome, Danny.
Hi, Danny.
How are you guys?
Fire
good,
up.
How
about
you?
You guys are alerting the world about what's going on. I think that's a very positive thing. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. I tend to look at it from the other angle of embracing the horror. And I couldn't think of anything than having to be put into a tank to go fight against the Russians. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like Russia's some weak country. And it would be like, can you imagine being put in the tank to fight America?
Yes.
So it's possible that mercenaries and people that are against freedom are being forced to battle against Russia right now, which may help for them. That's just an angle to think of.
Mm.
And are you absolutely sure, Danny, that are you saying that Russia is the bad guy in this scenario? Is that your opinion?
No, I'm being politically correct there. I'm just saying the obvious. If you were fighting on one side or the other, which side would you want protecting your family right now if it was a real, real war?
That's yeah, you want to be on the Russian team, wouldn't you?
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So let's face it. I honestly believe that if Russia were taking the gloves off and they wanted to wipe out Ukraine, they'd flatten out all the cities and just take it over. You know, but I don't think that that's what's happening. That's why we can't see any footage of anything, considering there's cameras everywhere and everyone has a mobile phone. So that was just my point there. And I have love for Ukraine. I've been to a lot of the cities that have been attacked. It's not about that. It's about, I understand what power is. If you had to fight America and it was a stalemate, I'd say that America was pity-patting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think the country of Ukraine and the people are wonderful. I think the people in control of Ukraine currently are possibly not Ukrainian. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we know that there's conspiracy theory and then there's conspiracy fact. We who are aware aware that someone named Kolomoisky is the oligarch that sponsors Zelensky and stuff like that. And this was way before the war began.
Mm.
But none of that, you can't get any of that on news, but that's why you guys are here. It's awesome. And then you've got Glenn Beck just came out with exactly what you're talking about. The gas stoves in America and China and Russia having power over things and a war between nationalists and globalists. And here we are, the citizen, not knowing anything.
Yeah, and they made national identity sort of a dirty concept, haven't they, over a number of years?
Yeah, well, everything that's been brought up to believe was positive is now upside down.
Yeah.
So the world's happening. I personally, like I've said before, like I believe it's a positive. I am embracing the horror. I can see the reason for the anger and frustration. And obviously, there are many, many of us that if pushed to the end on what we believe in. So I don't believe that it'll come to that. I think that there are people at war at higher levels and we're just watching it play out. So that's why I say embrace the horror, because at the moment, every single topic that you want to talk about is happening at the same time.
Yes.
You know, Biden's laptop, the Russia-Ukraine situation, the possibility of Taiwan, the vaccination mandates coming back again but being ignored. I mean, every single topic that you could possibly talk about is happening at the same time, and some of us have been aware of all these things the whole time.
Yeah, but we're being bombarded, I believe, at the same time that this World Health Organization pandemic treaty is being amended. I think that's the thing they don't want us to see. I think that's why all this is going on. I think it's why Harry's book was released right now and the British press is blowing up about Harry's book so that we don't talk about this other stuff.
And I agree. But I still look at the positive side is it's being exposed for us to identify it. And we can see that the United Nations flag is with NATO, is with the World Health Organization, is with the International Monetary Fund. We kind of know who the opposition is.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest part, isn't it? Because all these so-called big global organizations that we're all meant to look up to and in the past have all been individual and privately run and funds raised, et cetera, and they've all sort of got together under the big Davos World Economic Forum umbrella, which that big party of the crazies is about to start, and it all seems to be at that right point. So, Danny, you make a very good point there that it's all coming together at the same time, and as Nicholas said, it may well be to alter this World Health Organization pandemic treaty again under the cover of darkness to keep us all confused with what's going on. And we watch the news and we see so many upside down parallels in all of this, including obviously, as you said, Hunter Biden's laptop and of course the documents there. And even we find out today that Hunter Biden had his name on the title of the home of Joe Biden where these documents were kept. It's just unbelievable how many mistakes. It just gets worse and worse.
It is unbelievable. But it's still a great time in life to be witnessing. I believe it's their demise. They're being highlighted. They're showing what their thought process and agenda is. Most of us felt something was like this, but never believed it was really going to happen. But here we are.
Yeah. I want to ask you a question, Danny. Do you ever feel that sort of nationally, you know, for Aussies, for Brits, for Americans, do you ever feel that we'll get to a point again in the future where we have a national governance that actually listens to the will of the people? Or do you think that's gone and not coming back?
I believe that that will come. I think that we're in the middle of the fight for it, but it's not our time to rise up fully because we aren't being thrown out of our homes. If you want to see start throwing them out of their homes and not feeding them, and will look like Sri Lanka, which has been identified that they've already tried to do that.
Mm.
So I think the threat is there to push us to be thinking, and we are being mobilized in a sense to understand what's happening. And the key is to be aware, watch everything, but still calmly live your life. And I think that we can benefit from being alert rather than in the dark.
Yeah, yeah, well said, Danny.
I don't have any fear in it because I know that, I believe without preaching, I believe in God. And I think that in this way, this is a very biblical type of time. And in history, it will be looked upon as a moment of change, that, and I believe it will be positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good for you. Bless you, Danny. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Danny. Have a great weekend. Now, call us now. Our lines are now open from the US and Canada. You can call 1-888-201-6425. From the UK, 033-0024-1026. And from Australia or New Zealand, 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk.
TNTRadio.live.
The station, the first to broadcast.
Breaking news.
TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Lisa Marie Presley, the only child of rock and roll legend Elvis Presley, has died at the age of 54 after suffering a suspected heart attack. The leader of Australia's most populous state has come under fire after it was revealed he wore a Nazi uniform, and the controversy surrounding Joe Biden continues to deepen after it was revealed stolen top secret documents were also found at the president's home.
Our lines are now open. Call Nicola Charles and Jason Oborn now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310.
TNT.
Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Open Line as we learn that a Democrat, Hank Johnson, has suggested that classified documents found in Biden's home and office, may have been planted after a second batch is found. It is preposterous. Democrats, Nicola, make their own rules for themselves. And it's one of the reasons why I walked away from them, both here and in Australia. It's only fair for themselves and not the peasants they pretend to serve. I mean, how is it that they can get the documents and get the lawyers in there and somehow it was all planted? But we're going to jump to the phones right now. We've got Craig on the line out of Tasmania. Welcome.
Hi, Craig.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, really good. How are you going, Jason?
Yeah, doing really well. Craig, I think I know this, Craig, and I'm very glad that you've rung up because I know that you've got a number of different opinions. Tell us what's on your mind.
Where do you want me to start? Throw something at me.
Well, I mean, as someone who's worked within law and order, you've got to have a position here on these classified documents.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, he's just been caught red-handed. Simple as that. However... I've read a fair bit today from different commentators in America and the like. This might be that he's past his use-by date. He's no longer the useful idiot or the powerful useful idiot that Obama and his cronies need to continue things. And this could be the invoking the 25th Amendment to... Well, I don't think they'll get rid of him with impeachment, but they might go with the 25th and say he's not of sound mind.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a really interesting take, isn't it? Because early in the hour, I asked the question, who is the only unelected US president? Do you know the answer to that one, Craig?
Gerald Ford.
There you go. And this is why it's so interesting, because he was elected president, as we all know.
Wait a minute. Wasn't it who jumped in when JFK got shot?
Well, that was Lyndon Johnson, but he was elected to the vice presidency, whereas Gerald Ford was never elected VP or president, because what happened was that in 72, when Nixon was elected in a landslide, he won pretty much every single state except for Washington, D.C., which isn't technically a state. He was the president. Spiro Agnew was the vice. Agnew resigned in 73, so Ford became the VP. And when Nixon resigned, he was elevated to president. And this, for mine, is potentially where this story heads here, because we have a precedent now that they could flip Biden, and they might not want Harris in there, and they might have to dump her first and then go the 25th, or the impeachment that may or may not be coming with these classified documents. What do you think?
That's what I'm feeling, but... They know. Look, they promoted these two, selected these two because basically they are imbeciles. But the most dangerous imbecile is one that thinks they're clever. And you've got to be clever on Biden's behalf, I suppose, to hang around in politics for 50 years, do absolutely nothing, and then end up as president. So I think that their handlers, and we all know who their handlers are, I believe their handlers are, I feel from what I've read and what I'm researching at the moment, their handlers are moving towards shifting him out and working on their next, because they've got 2 years to get something sorted technically for the next election. Mm. Whether they get to that, whether a few other odds and ends happen, you know, militarily, things like that, there's always been chatter around that in regards to the stolen election. But I think they're going to move him on.
He's been massively protected. His son's been massively protected since prior to the last election. So I don't believe that any of this stuff happens in a vacuum. If this is happening now, you're absolutely right. It's for a reason. He's being moved out because potentially the person who's coming in is best qualified to bring in the digital stuff, be firmer with Americans, be firmer on the agenda, be, you know, very, very different to Joe Biden, because, you know, the CIA have had this in documents for years, that if you can put someone front and center who's bumbling along and doesn't know what they're doing and confuses the general public, you can get away with murder.
He's past his use by date as far as being there. Head of sales, we'll call it. He's a man that's meant to get up and sell vaccines, sell lockdown, sell whatever the agenda is, a crumbling economy, which he's trying to say is on course for greatness, all that sort of stuff. I think he's used by date as the head salesman might be done, and they're going to have to do something to get someone in there that, for want of a better term, is believable. And but I think they may be too late, because if I had to do a guesstimate on the number of Americans that have woken up to the chicanery, I think it's got to be better than 60 or 70%.
My concern is that when they really went gangbusters on this vaccine rollout and, you know, removed human rights, and there was plastic bullets firing in Melbourne at the Shrine at innocent people, children and dogs, I remember being very conscious that period where they bore down on us very hard was approximately 1 year. So now you've got the next election in the USA in 2024. And so if there's a bit of fumbling here and a jostling for leadership, and someone comes in a bit like Rishi Sunak in the UK, who, you know, wasn't elected, what can that person then get away with in this time period between now and 2024 before they will know that they have to re-steady that ship?
That's right. They're not going to get away with a great deal, I don't think, but they'll just go for maybe a bit more stability. That is, someone that can actually put a few sentences together and be somewhat plausible, because I really think he's that this could well, this document situation that they found, you know, in the shed or wherever they found these documents, and they were before the midterms, which is, you know, very convenient that it didn't come out till now. It could be his crew working against him to say, righto, time to move on.
Yeah, retire granddad. Look, he's cooked. Biden is cooked, right? And
he
he's got this. Him and his family have got this overarching lack of ethics that seems to be a theme that goes along with this one world thinking, is an overarching lack of ethics. It's the new black. And so, you know, I'm assuming that they'll get someone else in with ethics that are also in the gutter, but he's cooked. Biden has to go because he's not even capable of answering simple questions anymore. And I noticed in the press briefing room yesterday, even his spokesperson there in the press briefing room, I forget her name, she was drowning as Peter Ducey from Fox News was asking her, how is this possible? Quite entertaining, wasn't it?
he just asked the best question, and the little mophead, it stands there at the front. She's got nothing. She's dead set got nothing. I love it.
I think the look on her face, you know, she's obviously a very well-educated woman, and she's been quite good at her job, really, because she's had a really tough job. But she, I think, you know, these people know inside that they can't possibly defend any of that. So it's a really tenuous position for them as well. I expect she'll be replaced very soon, as well as Biden.
Well, defending a lie takes a lot of energy. And how long are you going to maintain that energy?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is all coming out, isn't it? Because now, as we've talked about in this show, we've got the revelations that 43 national security experts have published an open letter now talking about the origins of COVID and the lab leak and wondering why it is that this has been covered up. And again, yeah. The timing of it is just impeccable, what we're seeing now. I mean, things are moving that fast that we could wake up on Monday morning and there may well be a new president. There may be a president that's no longer breathing, for all we know, in the way that these heart attacks are coming. It's just absolutely shocking.
Terrifying.
About what we're watching.
Are you saying someone might die of a coincidence?
Oh, well, this is the point,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, well said, Craig. Thanks for calling in, Craig. I really appreciate you taking the time to share your thoughts, and it does stir up the many, many emotions that are going on as people are worn out and are looking for some changes in the narrative, and certainly it is changing at a rate of knots, but the denials never stop ending.
Just in closing, the fellow who was on before us, I think he and you guys alluded to it. It's like they're in their death throes. They're coming at us with more and more angles and avenues to try and weaken us. You know, like today, we're going to come and take your gas stoves off. You're like, really?
Yeah.
They're really starting to run out of ideas. But I thank you for giving me some time, and well done on the show. I'll listen in more often.
Good on you, Craig. Thank you very much. Now, if you'd like to call in, you just call us by from the US and Canada, 1-888-201-6425. From the UK, 033-0024-1026. And from Australia or New Zealand, 1-800-670-310. Because, as you know, free speech is alive and well on TNT Radio. Now, on those the idea of gas stoves now linked to cognitive impairments and asthma. I mean, could you get a BS level any higher than that, Nicola?
Well, what I'd like to know is, A, why they haven't told us for the last 50 years, B, why there are lots of photographs of prominent Democrats, including Kamala Harris and Alexander Ocasio-Cortez and Nancy Pelosi. Did I say Nancy Pelosi? Jill Biden, all cooking on their gas stoves. And I'm a bit of a chef at home, and they will be taking my gas stove from my cold, dead hands, as AOC said. But, I mean, this is crazy. This whole net zero thing is crazy, because net zero equals mass extinction. That's what net zero equals. And so the fact that they're going after that is highly suspicious. You know, you only have to look at LinkedIn, and all of these CEOs and companies are jumping on board with this net zero without clearly understanding what that means. Because real farmers that grow plants, food that we eat, they actually buy these massive CO2 generators, and they put them in their greenhouses because it makes the plants grow twice as quick. So everyone knows that this stuff is actually good for the planet, and it makes plants grow. And so I'm highly suspicious when they say get rid of it. And as for getting rid of gas and gas cookers, what they want us to be is completely digitized. They want these digital IDs. They want everything: banking, home life, cooking, heating, cooling, driving. Think about it. They're pushing everything in our lives to be electric. Why? Because if we're all on one electrical system and it's hacked, or they just flick a switch, that's the end of human life as we know it. We can't eat. At least now, when the power goes out, I can use a match and light my gas hob and cook some food for my children. When we go all electric, that's over. That's finished. No more. And so it's an extremely tenuous position. I mean, look, I think the FAA was hacked, and, you know, all of the flights in America were downed yesterday, and there was absolute chaos. And we've seen this in Ireland, we've seen it in the UK, and we've seen it in Australia. Now, why on earth would you want to do that? Because it means we have no access to food, no access to money. We have to stop these people, and we have to stop them now, because they are funneling us down into a check mate scenario, in my opinion. And it's happening in real time. And most people are just sort of head in the sand, la, 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 pretending it's not happening. It's happening. And we need to address it now because we are sliding into this. It's a slow creep. And we cannot let this creep up on us. You know, they are literally, it's like something out of a movie. You know, it's like the War of the Worlds, because over there in Davos, over there with the World Health Organization, slowly but surely, they drew their plans against us. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's fact. They're there now, doing it now. They don't care what the people think. And as I asked Craig or Danny, I think the previous caller, do you think we will ever have a truly representative government in any of our nations that actually listens to the will of the people? Honestly, Jason, I'm not convinced anymore.
No, I'm the same. It's got to a point that it has to completely collapse, and it seems that it is collapsing, you know, before our very eyes. And I wonder if they're pulling all their cards, like Craig alluded to, and throwing everything at it now because they know that the big recession is coming. You know, you've got these big organizations calling that it is coming this year, and it feels like that they are just trying to get their ducks in a row before the big collapse comes. And of course, they think that they're going to have the population begging these hopeless imbeciles to come and save us yet again after the last 50 times that they've tried to kill us. They've failed even at that and pretending that they're trying to save us. And that's why I'm so fired up and so cranky today, because as Danny alluded to, it's like two opposites. We're at opposite ends of a spectrum. We're getting told that they're saving us, they're trying to kill us, and they won't even look at when we say, but hang on a second, this looks like poison. It's that frustrating in about what we're seeing now, and it's so obvious. And then when we see, I mean, how many more heart attacks do we need to see before people go, you know what, it might actually be the jabby?
Yeah, it's just a complete loss of trust for me. I'm looking globally at all of the so-called leaders and bureaucrats, and you know, you've got the odd guy like Alex Antic, and I wonder why, I think he's in the Liberal Party, I wonder why he's allowed to speak out, and perhaps he's being groomed for a calmer, kinder future. I hope so, because he seems like a good guy, but everything that's happening, you may be calling it out, but it's still happening, and we need to find a way to stop, because this is extreme cruelty, mental and physical cruelty to innocent people across the world. There are billions of us. We are the future of this planet, and they are torturing us and torturing our children, and it has to end.
Absolutely. We're going to pause for a break. We're going to give you a chance to pluck up the courage to give us a call, Nicola and Jason. You can talk about anything that you want, issues of the last week, your concerns about the future, even your interpretation. And maybe you just want to tell us if you will hold on to your gas stove and not give it up for anyone, because it's still the best way to cook. You're listening to the one and only TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
You may recall that as a result of the inability of the various COVID vaccines to actually prevent people from getting COVID, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention simply changed the definition of vaccine. So you still got COVID, but they solved their language issue. Now the CDC has taken it many steps further. Would you believe preferred terms for select population groups and communities? Yes, something that has absolutely nothing to do with our health. Some examples from their list. Instead of inmate, CDC says use people who are incarcerated. Instead of disabled, people with disabilities. Use persons who use drugs instead of drug users and addicts. Don't say homeless people or the homeless. Say people experiencing homelessness. And instead of mentally ill or crazy, say people with a mental illness. People with a pre-existing mental health disorder, that's a good one too. So there you have it. If you can't do your job and keep Americans safe from disease, change the narrative, turn woke, and you'll be just fine in today's sick world. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Mama, what does the chicken say? Dog. Cat. Giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the-right-seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
TNT Radio wants to hear from you. Call Jason Oborn and Nicola Charles now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And welcome back to the open line. I don't know about you, Nicola, but for mine, I've always thought that if we don't get to the origins of COVID, then how can we sign up to the World Health Organization pandemic treaty at all? Because we don't even know where it came from. And that should be their very first responsibility as part of the auditing process. Because how can you go ahead with something when you don't even know what you're doing or where it came from and whether you can prevent it again in the future? What's your thoughts on that topic?
Jason, they don't care what we know. That's what I've decided coming through this last period in history. They don't care what we know. We're on a need-to-know basis, and quite frankly, we don't need to know. They don't care that we don't have an isolate of it, which, of course, is absolutely nuts. When your governments and the World Health Organization have told us during the last 24 months that literally millions, potentially billions of people have been exposed to the many variants of this COVID-19 so-called virus, why on earth didn't some genius in a lab draw some of the blood of a person suffering from COVID-19? And there's your isolate. You've literally had billions of opportunities to do that. But no, health services all over the world, Ireland, Canada, America, New Zealand, Australia, claim they don't have it anywhere. Now, there's two answers to that. They either don't have it because it doesn't exist and it's the flu, or they have it, and if it was ever looked at by anyone independently, it would scream bioweapon. So they don't care about what we know about COVID-19. That should be clear to everyone at this point. And they will move ahead with this pandemic treaty, whether people are dropping dead in a pandemic on the streets or not, is my opinion.
It's a big, tough line that it makes a whole lot of sense. And I suppose, therefore, it gives us a little bit of relief to realize that that a group of 43 national security experts have published an open letter on January 11 criticizing news organizations and scientific publications that dismissed the possibility that the COVID-19 pandemic might have been the result of a lab leak. But Nicola, it seems that that's just a little bit too late and too far at this stage, because they've had many opportunities to go in there and look. And as you said, they don't really care and they'll hold off as long as they can. For mine, it's this in your face, like we're doing the reporting on all of this, but this in your face denial and pretending that it doesn't exist is the most infuriating part of it. And when they're finally cornered, like Katie Hobbs in Arizona, she gets up and she's on TV saying, "I will open my door to anyone except conspiracy theorists." Like, are you
good
serious?
Luck with that.
So, yeah, exactly right. So automatically, she gets an applause from the usual, the lemmings in front of her. Oh yes, of course, because a conspiracy theorist is just a crazy person. But not realizing, of course, that what we're doing is it's simply the derogatory term given to anyone. We're now learning that is on the side of that's being censored. It's just another term of censorship, another term of discrimination, another term to vilify, and another term to stick your head in the sand to go along with the agenda. So there must be many people out there starting to put these, as you said earlier in the week, that the dots have joined themselves and they're realizing this and going, well, hang on a second, how big does this go? Well, it goes all the way, doesn't it, to Davos and then some.
Yeah, all the way. And there's two things about that stuff you talked about just there, because firstly, conspiracy theorist now in my mind equals healthy person. And I believe the healthy person has become an enemy of the state. They are finding all sorts of ways to label us as an enemy of the state. Dan Andrews himself talks about certain groups. And as I said, I noticed when my new license came that next to the expiry date was an A in brackets. My husband said that's A for anarchist. But the other thing I wanted to say is they've done very well with their marketing, haven't they? Because even you yourself there said the lab leak theory. Well, another question is, was it a lab leak and is it a lab leak theory, or was it released by a lab? That's an entirely different thing. And that's another question 3 years later that we still don't have answered. And, you know, I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, Scott Morrison sort of feigned a little bit of strength there. And he said that Australia was going to investigate the origins of COVID-19. And it just all disappeared like dry ice, like mist. And we indeed did not learn, and neither did anyone else learn, the origins of COVID-19. And what does that mean? You know, these people are not stupid. They can decide what you've put in your bin. They know if you've gone through a red light in your car. They know if you haven't paid a bill. A friend of mine in the UK said her relative is awaiting a triple heart bypass. And they say, oh, well, we'll get you in to see the specialist in 4 weeks. Then they push it back to 6 weeks. However, if in the UK you ring up and say, I'd like a COVID-19 booster, they're like, how soon can you get here?
Absolutely. And if they're avoiding an investigation, it's pretty clear these days it's because they know the answer. And like you, it's the same. The lab leak is just the, it's kind of like the doorstop of the sleight of hand. It's the last admission that they will do to get away with it. And this particular article where you got the 43 national security experts saying, criticizing them for the lab leak, this is again a sleight of hand. It's to look for the lab leak and not for the intentional parting of from the lab into the system, so to speak.
Yeah, I'll tell you what people like to do, right? They like other people to do the wet work, and they like to wash their hands of it. You find bosses do it in a corporate setting, abusers do it, criminals do it, and governments do it. And so what they're doing here on a grand global scale is washing their hands of the wet work that needs to be done. Because if people get injured by injecting these substances that we now, well, the goodness knows what, they're not having a good effect on humanity, are they? But governments will just state, when this treaty gets amended, and even now, they will just state that, well, we were responding to a pandemic, to a crisis. And later on, they'll say, we were just abiding by a global World Health Organization treaty. How on earth could you question that? And they're doing the same thing with Russia and Ukraine, you know, because, well, they're trying to save democracy globally and the poor people of Ukraine. And so they cleverly, you know, these people at WEF, the World Economic Forum in Davos, you know, they didn't become this wealthy and successful in business by being idiots. They came this way because they plan. These people plan 5 years ahead, 7 years ahead, 12 years ahead, and 15 years ahead in business. They know the bottom line and project what it's going to be in 15 years' time. And I've gone through that, and I've owned businesses as well. And so this is a very long and multi-layered plan. And the general plan is that they will walk away with their hands clean, scot-free, having done some truly terrible things for what they claim the reason is for the good of humanity, for our health and for climate change. But we know the facts and the science are set that none of those things are true. So I'm actually really worried at this point.
Isn't it interesting how we can assess a situation on any given day and have a completely different set of emotions by just looking at the current, very current news? And so today you feel a little bit more pessimistic, and by Monday you might be feeling a little bit more optimistic.
I hope because so. Things,
exactly, and we all do. But it also explains why so many people are just confused. They're sick of being gaslit. They're sick of being told that they're the crazy ones and made to feel like they're the crazy ones. But I take a little bit of comfort in what Danny said earlier, in the sense that it is all falling apart, and what you do is you live your best life in all of this and not get too concerned, but keep watching what's going on, stay informed and on top of it, but realize that a lot of this stuff is out of our hands. But there is absolutely no reason why you wouldn't want to be the most informed person on the block, in your suburb, wherever it is, and keep abreast of what's going on, because much of what we've done over the last 3 years has been as a result directly of what's been put upon us. Many of us became a lot more self-sufficient. A lot of people were able to reduce their debt in a period of high inflation. They were able to become a little bit more self-sufficient, more motivated. People are growing food in their own backyards now. There's a lot of different ways that we've improved our lives to be less dependent on the system. And what we're seeing, of course, is that the other side are becoming, by design, more dependent on the system, where the system wants to completely, as you said, digitize us to a point where there is no way out. And it feels like we are being corralled into this big digital prison before our eyes. And, and where some of us are just walking into it, just going, oh, well, I sometimes used to think, even 3 years ago, Nicola, that Donald Trump could have said, you guys, you're all in a prison. I've just opened the door and I'm going to let you all escape. And these people would look at him and go, but they just gave me my lunch. I'm going to stay and finish it.
You know, I think they're starting to realize that I think at the beginning, I forget which country he's from, but one of the members of the World Economic Forum at the beginning of this pandemic spoke and said, if you don't like the changes that are about to occur, you can go and live on a Himalayan mountaintop somewhere. And they were sort of thinking in their minds that it would be the odd person that they could label as crazy, who was kind of anti-establishment, anti-government, and we don't care about them, and you go and live on a mountaintop. Well, as it's turned out, and because I absolutely do not believe the numbers that the government tell us about the amounts of people who are vaccinated, and even if they are, they're also waking up. I believe they now see and know, and I've seen chatter about this online, that you will have those living in these smart cities, which for my money is sort of a digital open range prison, by choice, because they'll make properties cheaper and they'll do all these incentives like these apartment blocks with swimming pools in the middle. You know, even though if there's another pandemic, you'll be locked in and you won't get to that pool. You'll just be able to look at it. And then there'll be what they're now describing as almost medieval encampments. Little villages, little hamlets out of town, and they'll be full of all us crazy people, all us conspiracy theorists. And you know what? I'll love it. I'll be out there growing my tomatoes. And Jason, you're more than welcome to join me.
Yeah, well said. It sounds like there is two realities building, and that's what many of us are hoping for. And there was a lot of discussion and planning early on that this might be the alternate reality that we need to build for ourselves. Well, I'm going to vacate the chair. Nicola's going to stay in hers, and Rick Munn is locked and loaded, fired up, and ready to take your calls right after the news. You don't really want to go anywhere, do you? Because this is the one place where the facts are the facts and you get to have your say. You're listening to TNT Radio.